Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we invite you, come and take your place, come and have your way. Our confidence, Lord, is in your mercy. I strip myself of every confidence in my knowledge and my preparation, and I ask you, Father, for fresh mercy. Mercy to a faithful chalice, a pure chalice of life. So, Lord, as I strip myself, Lord, I open my heart over to you, and I ask you for fresh unction, fresh anointing, to make me, Lord, an oracle of God. And as I open my mouth, your word will flow from you to me and from me to your people without any hindrance in the name of Jesus. That it will come forth with power. It will come in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And that word will do an eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with the revelation and the insight that comes from the Holy Spirit, Lord, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, I dock under the anointing of my fathers, Lord, in this house, and Lord, as I go into minister your word, let this word be backed with anointing, Lord, from your throne, that everywhere it goes, Lord, let it break yokes, let it set men free, let it heal bodies, let it enlighten minds, let it bring comfort and encouragement, helping us, Lord, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, inspiring us to a higher level of faithfulness in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, because as your word goes, I ask for mercy to be faithful, and I'll be concise and precise, Lord. It's not speaking my own words, but Lord, seeking your glory, seeking your honor, and speaking the words as you give me to speak in the name of Jesus, that indeed, Lord God, I'll be a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of this word things both old and new, to the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name. Father, in particular, Lord, I just come to pray as I dock on the cup of my fathers, let this word be a word that will bring them joy and refreshing and gladness in the name of Jesus. And as it ministers to them, Lord, let it also minister to my brethren, that we will not, none of us will be the same. So go to a higher degree of glory in your presence, in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the word? Okay. It shouldn't be too long. It's entitled Men and Women of Understanding. God wants us to be men and women of understanding. That is, you know, we should understand the way God understands. We should see the way God sees. And we should therefore be able to act the way God acts. Amen. Now, it's important to understand that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 9 verse 5, we're not going to turn there, but I'm sure they can put it up. John chapter 9 verse 5, it says, I am the light of the world. Okay, and he also says in Matthew chapter 5 verse 14, that we are the light of the world. So you get this understanding from that statement, that when Jesus was in the world, he was the light of the world in his time. Amen. And God wants us to be the light of the world in our own time. Amen. And so that means that the light of God must shine through our souls. Okay, the light of God, you know, is in our spirits. But you know, it's no good when you light a lamp and you put it under a bushel. So the Bible tells us. The Bible says that you put it on a candlestick, which is the soul, so it gives light to what? To all the house. And then guess what? When the light is so bright that it cannot, the house cannot contain it, then it begins to give light to the compound. Then it begins to give light to the city or the neighborhood. Then the city, then give light to the nation. And then give light to the nations of the world. And we're going to get there in Jesus' name. That's the will of God for us. That our light will so shine that men will see our good works and give glory to our Father which is in heaven. That's the will of God. So how is it going to shine? It's going to shine through our choices. When we make the kind of choices we make and decisions that we make, which is in our will, men will see that light. It will shine in our understanding, in our perception. For example, Jesus, they brought a woman to Jesus and said that this man was caught in adultery in the very act. Moses said that she should be stoned to death. What do you say? And he bent down. The light, he had to allow the light to shine. It wasn't there at that time. But he communed with God, and that light came forth. And he said, whoever doesn't have sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And that light made everybody realize that they were being hypocritical and turned back from the eldest to the youngest, and the woman was left alone. Now that is light. When people perceive light. Okay, so it must shine through our understanding, our perception, which is revealed in our thoughts and our words, which comes from our mind. And then it shines in our feelings. It shines in our responses. When people do things to you, the light of God must shine. Amen. That's the will of God. And it's going to shine in Jesus' name. You just have to keep at it. And this message is to encourage us to give it what it takes to let the light shine. Amen. Alright, so he's supposed to shine through our feelings and our responses, both to God as well as to men, which is in our emotions. And this is a great responsibility. Okay, and God's going to help us to be faithful in Jesus' name. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Now we need to turn here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Let's read it together. We have also... let's go to verse 18. Yes. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Next verse. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. So he's contrasting now the word that came, you know, when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, to the word that God has given us, the written word. Okay? It says, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that what? Shineth where? In a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Amen. Amen. What is he saying there? He's saying that the light of the word of God is a light that shines in our souls. So ordinarily, the soul of man is a dark place. The soul of man is dark. It's darkened by the sin nature. That's why the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Jeremiah 17. And is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, it is in that dark place that God puts the seed of the word of God. The incorruptible seed of the word of God. And he says that that incorruptible seed will shine and shine and shine until the day star. It will actually, the whole soul, will, mind, emotions will be flooded with light. That's the will of God. It's much the same way, you know, when we get born again, we know that our spirits are born again and our souls, in our bodies, remain relatively unchanged. So you can call that 30-fold, because we're three parts. We're spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul. Okay, so there are three parts. So when the first part is like, so you're 30% saved when you get born again. Alright, the light is only 30% of the entire being that you are. And God's not satisfied with that. He's happy that you're saved, amen, but he's not satisfied with that. So, I can imagine now, if you have a bulb that is 30 watts, and you put that bulb in a room, there is light, but there's a lot of darkness. I'm sure. There are many areas you will not see clearly. Now, if you now allow that light to begin to flow into the soul, then that bulb begins to go up to 40 watts, 50 watts, 60 watts. Amen? All that is still in the soul, okay? 70 watts. By that time, it begins to come into the next compartment, which is the body. Much the same way as we know outer court, where it is all pure natural light. There's no divine light. This light we're talking about is divine light. It's spiritual understanding, spiritual wisdom, spiritual insight. So when we are born again, yes, we are born again, but a lot of our thinking, a lot of our reasoning is still dark. It's basically natural. Alright, and God understands that but wants to change it. And this is where we have to cooperate with Him intelligently. So God wants to move it from being natural and make it even more spiritual. So He begins to give you the light of His Word. He begins to, and we call it the renewing of the mind. And gradually the light that God begins to give you, you must act on it. So because, no, it's the difference between living somewhere and visiting somewhere. You know, if you right now, if you want to go to America, you have to have a visa. Even with the visa, you have to pray. Amen. Alright. But let's say that you have a visa, okay? Alright, and you get there. It's one thing to visit. When they visit, they give you a time span, isn't it? Your visa is time bound, whether it's a month or 6 months or it's 1 year or 2 years, okay? So it's time bound. After that visa, guess what? You have to go back. Now, the same way it is, sometimes the light of God comes into our souls and we have the light for a season and then we don't act on the light. So the light is not resident inside us. It comes for a season and then we go back to that. So it's like we visit the place. This place is very nice. And then we go back. And we go forward. Then we go, but God wants to fix you. Wants to fix you in a higher place. Amen. The Bible says that of all of us, we're going to get there that no, we are like a pillar that does not go no more out. God doesn't want you to be going back and forth, in and out. Wants to dwell. The Bible says the upright shall dwell in it. Okay? So it's important for us to understand. So that's the picture. So that light keeps shining brighter and brighter. And when it shines so brightly, the soul, the Bible talks about, let's look at it. Luke chapter 11, chapter 33. But I think it's important to emphasize this. Luke 11, 33. No man, let's read together. No man, when he had lighted the candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. God wants men to see our light. Next verse. The light of the body is the eye, mind, eyes of our understanding. Okay? When therefore thine eye is single, that is your will is aligned with the will of God, the mind, thy whole body is what? Also full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. This is a dynamic state. It's a dynamic state. It fluctuates. So it's our responsibility now to understand how we can ensure that the light in us is increasing steadily until the whole body gives light. Look at the next verse. Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. That's why God is asking us to bring this word to you. Next verse. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. We're going to get there in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright. Okay. Bible also says in Isaiah 60 verse 2, we won't turn there. It says, arise, shine, for what? Thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. He says that behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Who has more darkness? Looking at the scripture, it says darkness covers the earth. We can see that. And gross darkness the people. So who has more darkness? The people. So the darkness coming from the people to the earth. Amen. So it is the people and the things that they are doing that is disseminating darkness. But look at our portion. But the Lord shall what? Arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Amen. Let's give God a super hand. Amen. So we are, as it were, we are God's generators of light. And we fill the whole earth with the light of God. Amen. That is the will of God. How do we do that? We do that really by following his example. The Bible says in John 8 verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. Look at it. I'm like John 8, 12. Then Jesus spake again on them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. See, God is emphasizing it. But shall have the light of life. God wants us to have the light of life, so that we can walk in light, even as he is in light. That's the will of God for us, okay? Now, how do we walk in his light? Look at it. We receive this light through three main avenues. We receive it through his word. The Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 105, says the entrance of his word giveth light. We receive this light also through his life, which is his nature. Okay? That's in John chapter 1 verse 4, where it says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then we receive this life also through the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life. See, all these things, you know, principles that we are taught, are really taught to us, you know, by the Holy Spirit. Of course, he uses human teachers. And then when the human teachers have taught you, then he takes you personally. And then teaches you personally, on your own, how to practice it, you know, so that you can obey the instructions and then you can get the experience. Alright, so we need those three. We need the Holy Spirit as a person using his word and his life to give us light. That's how God gives us light. So it's the Holy Spirit that enlightens, is the one that teaches, is the one that strengthens, is the one that trains. Okay, he's the one that equips, and he's the one that guides. Look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. It's very instructive to look at this. Alright, let's read it together. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now this is speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Pastor has taught us this many times, but it's also speaking of you and I. It's a spiritual rod coming out of a natural stem. It is a spiritual branch coming out of a natural root. That's why the Pharisees couldn't understand it. You know, how can Jesus be the son of David if he's his Lord? Because there's a physical lineage that he's belonging to, but he's a spiritual birth, a spiritual person. Amen. Look at the next verse. So this is speaking of David, he's speaking of you and I, speaking of Jesus, speaking of us. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and what? Understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Amen. Next verse. The seven spirits of God. The Spirit of love is the last one. And shall make him of what? Quick understanding. Where? In the fear of the Lord. God wants us to have quick understanding. You know, like you must have been saying, when you are borrow, that's a form of law. What does that mean? It means that there's some things you don't have to really spell out fully to a wise child. Just say one or two words, or just use your eyes. The child will make up the rest. Everything you didn't say, he will add it, put full stop, everything is correct, and he will obey. That's what God, quick understanding. In your actions, quick, you will understand what's the will of God. Quick, you pick it. That's how Jesus was. When the woman with the alabaster box broke the alabaster box on him, he didn't understand it. He didn't know what it meant. The Bible says, and when people were complaining, he kept quiet. The Bible says, and when he understood, he says, leave her alone. You must be of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. This is the will of God for us. I want that to be quick. And how do you do it? It's in the fear of the Lord. There's an attitude that you have that makes you of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. So it's not natural. Neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Next verse. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with his breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Next verse, verse 5. Thank you. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The ultimate thing God wants to produce is righteousness and faithfulness. But what the festival does is to pour out that spirit upon us. Amen. Amen. And then we now begin to see the way God sees. You know, that was what Solomon did. Solomon is the type of the Christ. Amen. The day Pastor said it, I was like, wow, Solomon. But you know, it's very true. Solomon is the type of Christ. I know, can you believe it, that Solomon, when he got that, we'll get there. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to see something. When Solomon had that wisdom, they brought two children to him. The two women came to him, rather, and they came with a child. You know, and this one said, "It's my child." The other one said, "It's my child." No, you slept on your child is dead. No, this is my child, this is not your child. You know, all that. So that was the first. He didn't judge after the hearing of his. So he said, "Okay, fine. Let's divide the child into two." Yes, let's divide the child into two. And I was like, "Ah, no, don't divide. How would you have judged? How would I have judged? The one that said let's divide it is my child. I wouldn't have known what to do, to be honest. That was divine. That was spirit of wisdom and understanding. Right there. And he rightly discerned. And as soon as he discerned, of course the natural mother would not want to kill the child. So he just gave it. Right there, you could tell the person that loved the child. Anybody that wants to destroy something doesn't love it. Doesn't love it enough. That is willing to destroy it and let it go. I don't care. That spirit is that person doesn't own it. The person that wants to preserve it, the one that wants to be. The Bible says a wise woman builds her home. A foolish woman plucks it down. When he's plucking it down, to her what she's doing makes sense. But in the light of the word of God, she lacks understanding. See, this is an example. I'll just give an example so you can see. So we see that it's the Holy Spirit that enlightens, the one that teaches these spirits of God, that the spirit of counsel, of mind, to train, to equip, to guide, to produce righteousness. So ultimately, righteousness or love is the same thing. The Bible says love is the fulfilling of the law. So the end of law is righteousness. So love or righteousness, that is the goal that God wants to achieve. Amen. Bible says love, the spirit of life, has set us free from lawlessness. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Alright. Who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For what? The letter killeth, but what? The Spirit gives life. This means that there's the Spirit of the Scripture. It also means that it is the Holy Spirit that helps us to see the path of life in the word. You can take this word and use it to do damage. It's a sword. You can, a surgeon can take a scalpel and use it to heal. Same way you can take a sword and use it to kill. So it is the spirit of it that gives life. And that's why understanding is so critical, that we must have it so that we can bring life out of the word of God and use it skillfully to bring a blessing to the people around us. Amen. Alright, now righteousness or divine love is the light that the darkness of this world cannot comprehend. Bible says the light shineth and the darkness cannot comprehend it. When we live our lives the way God wants us to live it, brethren, the world will not be able to contain the darkness. They will not be able to put it down and they will not be able to deny that it is light. And you know what they will do? They will come to the brightness of our rising, and then we can then point them back to our God. Amen. Look at Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Alright, that's the ultimate aim. So you can know what is in God's mind. Why it is important for us to live a life of light. Why our light needs to shine. So that people can come through you to God. Amen. Look at Isaiah chapter 2. And shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established where? In the tops of the mountains. That means there is a mountain is a place of prayer. That means there is a prayer that is going to be above every other prayer. Okay? Alright? And shall be exalted above the hills. And what? All. Bible's not exaggerating. All nations shall flow. Why? Because they are seeing something. They are seeing a demonstration of life. Of light. Amen? Alright, next verse. And many people, Pastor said, just shared it last week, shall go and say, "Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways and will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." They're not looking for miracle. They are looking to learn his ways. That means that they must have seen somebody demonstrate those ways. They must have seen somebody, you know, demonstrate and walk in those paths. They must have seen it evidently set forth the way the Bible says it. And that's what attracts them. And this is genuine. My pastor says, no, truth resonates with the spirit of man. When you get the truth, you can tell, no, this is genuine. I need to go. And so that's ultimately the will of God for us, you know, to attract the world and bring them to our light. And they will come to our light in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, we must increase in understanding and wisdom, which is light, like the children of Issachar. The Bible says children of Issachar had understanding of the times, and they knew what Israel ought to do. So we need to know what we ought to do. 1 Chronicles 12:32. Just put it up. I don't want to get bogged down by that. All right. So now, having light is not automatic. We've shown, therefore, now that you have to follow God. You have to follow Jesus to walk in the light. Bible says, no, I'm light of the world. He that followeth me shall have light of life. But you know, you can follow Jesus and still not have the light shining in and through you to the degree that it should. And I want to show you from the scripture, you know, that from the example that we have seen of the disciples, so we can learn from their mistakes. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Let's look at verse 5. Matthew 16, verse 5. Quickly. All right, let's read it together. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Next verse. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They use leaven to make bread. All right, next verse. And they reasoned among themselves, it is because we have taken no bread. So when we get to the other side, we should go and get the leaven of the Pharisees. Don't get another one. The one that the Pharisees are, the one that they are selling, is that leaven we go and use to make the bread that we're going to go and use. See how we can take something spiritual and run around and end up far from where God intended. And they were not doing it deliberately. It was just a function of the way they were thinking. And they were thinking, oh, Tony, what you said is correct. And in fact, it makes sense. In fact, so everybody had agreed that this was what he's talking about. Next verse. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Next verse. Do you not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Next verse. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? These were experiences they went through, yet they remain the same. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. They went through the experience, and they basically remain the same. Apart from being the one that distributed the bread as was multiplying and the fish, you know, it didn't really impact their understanding, one, who they were dealing with. That this man can produce bread where there's no bread. I mean, that's the first thing, you know. And then, two, to even want to know God more and move to a higher level of understanding and spiritual things. Their thinking was basically natural. They were natural. God doesn't want us to be natural in our thinking, natural in your analysis. When you look at Nigeria, you're just natural in the way you analyze it. But boy, yeah, you know, there are people that when they bread, they buy paper. You know, there's this, there's always an argument. Everything's natural there or in the office. Irony, no, 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 no. In fact, it's APC, and this, arguing at the top of their lungs. Natural. Say, how is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, but that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Next verse. Then understood. Oh, yes, I saw. Yeah, oh, Tony. Ah, yay. After, slow to understand. Is this one of quick understanding? It's not. But someone, that's how we are. God will help us to grow in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to grow in Jesus' name. That was then they understood. But you know, initially they didn't get it. So, and they were following Jesus. Were they not following Jesus? And he told them of little faith. So it means that they were not doing what they needed to do to build up their faith. So the amount of light they had, little faith is little light. So the place is mainly dark. So any, no, where you are, that is where you will reason things out to be. If you are in a dark place, the way you will analyze something, no matter how important it is, it will be with that darkness. That's why it's so important to make sure that we are walking in the light. Because anywhere that light meets you, you're going to have to take decisions. You're going to have to make responses. You're going to make analysis. You're going to have to perceive. You're going to have to understand. You're going to have to do many things right there and then. And you will do it naturally, based on where you dwell. That's why it's important to keep moving forward and not stay close to the outer court, but keep moving inside and inside to the holiest of all. Amen. Right. All right. We all see another example in Job. How many people believe Job walked with God? I certainly do. Job did. Bible says that he was a man that feared God exceedingly. You know, was upright in all his ways. He gave alms. He did everything. Yet Job had to admit that he lacked understanding. Look at Job 42. Let's read it from verse 1. Quickly, thank you. I need to move quickly. Job 42. And then Job answered the Lord, and let's read together. And then Job answered the Lord and said, next verse, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholding from thee. In short, you'll be seeing all my thoughts where I've been dwelling all along. Next verse. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Next verse. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Next verse. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Understanding. Job was in darkness. And he was serving God. He gave alms every day. He was being, in fact, if you look at Job's CV in Job 29, I'm not even anywhere near. In fact, Job, if somebody became a widow, Job took them up naturally. If somebody needed something, Job took it up personally. Job was eyes to the blind. Job was this, Job was that. He was doing all those things. And yet, he was not seeing God the way he's supposed to. So this is not a relationship of good works to people. It's something you have to do first with God. And then to people. Amen? Amen. Very important. Okay? Next example. Oh, okay, and that was the door. It was that lack of understanding that he left open. That door of lack of understanding, he left it open. It was that ultimately God saw that this Bobo is leaving the door. So he caused Satan's attention, and so that he could limit what Satan did. He now let Satan come in and hit Job. You know, but Job really had left the door open. If you notice, Elihu, who was the person that God used to really correct Job, because Job's three friends were busy castigating him and telling him, and they missed it. So they were not even getting across to Job at all, you know. And God used Elihu, a man who was younger than Job, a man who was less prominent than Job. He wasn't as rich as Job. He wasn't as well known as Job, but he was closer to God than Job was. So, having understanding is not a function of age. Amen. Amen. It's not a function of age. It's a function of desire. It's a function of diligence. It's a function of faithfulness. Amen. It's a function of something that you want from God. Okay? But yet, it was Elihu that God used to point Job to the way of his life. Look at Proverbs 12:8, because I think it's important to mention this. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8. A man shall be commended according to his resources, according to his wealth, according to the number of wives he has, according to the number of children he has. How will he be commended? According to his wisdom. But he that is of a perverse heart shall be divided. That is, there is a connection between wisdom and the heart. Amen. So Elihu was commended because of his wisdom. So wisdom is something, wisdom are things that God wants us to actually pursue. Amen? So that we can not in itself, but as a means to fulfilling what we saw in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 5, righteousness and faithfulness is the means to an end. Amen. Alright. Okay. So following blindly, when you don't have enough light, you are following Jesus, but you're not following with understanding. When you are following blindly or you lack understanding, it can actually get us offended. It makes us prone to offense. These are things that we need to watch out for. You know, look at Psalm 73. The whole David, verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Next verse. For I was what? Envious at the foolish. What the tip of offense. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Well, I don't want to get bogged down with all the things he saw. When people don't do what you're doing and they seem to be prospering more than you. They don't pray to the degree that they are praying and they seem to be having more than you. God, if you said that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, when now? When is it going to transfer? When are you going to transfer this thing? Transfer it the way we transfer money with ATM. Transfer from your phone to me. Transfer. And after a while, you know, because you're looking at the wrong thing, you get bogged down. So sometimes this happens to us. All right? But look at what God had to tell him to do. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. Same 73, verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary. Then did I what? Understood. See, it's important to understand the way God understands. It's something that we need to pursue. We need to understand. We should not be following blindly. We should be walking with understanding. When you understood, you are doing me a favor. Thank you. You are not sending leanness to my soul. Thank you. You are preparing me for something more glorious. Thank you. Something that has benefit, not just in this life, but in the life to come. Thank you. That's what he's doing. When you understand, then you'll be at rest. You'll be at peace because you know he's working all things out. And so the indicator of how well things are going is not how things are going on the outside and physical alone. It is what is going on the inside, in your will, in your mind, in your emotions, in your relationship with God. And then on the outside. Amen. And if it works on the inside, the Bible says, if you prosper, as your soul prospers. If you are prospering your soul, there is no way you will not prosper outside. You cannot. You can. The Satan cannot withhold that. Okay. And then finally, I'm just trying to point out why we should walk with understanding as sons of Issachar. Because if you don't, like we saw many times, you can stumble or fall, like disciples did. When they didn't know what Jesus said, they didn't understand. And then you can actually, like Job, you can open the door for the devil. If God wants to do you a favor, then God has to try and shut that door. Amen. And then, like we saw with like David, it can bring offense. And then finally, it can actually make you a prey for very intelligent and powerful spiritual forces. Satan is not a fool. Pastor has told us so many times. He's not anybody's fool. He's a very smart person. The Bible says he sealeth up the sum of wisdom. So spirits that are in his cadre, they are very powerful and very wise. It takes the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in our own self. They can run rings around us, in our own natural self. It is by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that we can actually overcome them. Okay? And not having understanding makes you a prey, because then they can paint you any picture that they want you to see. Amen. And that's not the will of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Okay? I know we use this for sexual immorality, but it's really at one level. There are many levels of the truth of the word of God. Okay? Proverbs 7, verse 7 to 10. 7 to 10. Okay. And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth A young man void of understanding. What was a young man doing? Somebody that is, Bible says that you are, I say unto you, young men, you are strong and you have overcome the wicked one. So this is somebody who is praying. He's praying deep prayer. Yet he doesn't have understanding to the degree that he should. To the degree that he should. Look at the next verse. Passing through the streets near her corner, he went the way to her house. Next verse. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and the dark night. It's progression. Twilight, he stayed there for too long. It's not good to have lack of understanding. It's not good to be there for a long time. At a time, what should he be doing in the twilight and in the evening? Look at Zechariah chapter 14, verse 7. Thank you. At the evening time, there shall be light. Quick. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord. Not day, nor night. But it shall come to pass that at the evening time, it shall be light. Next verse. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea. See his people. Okay? And half of them towards the hinder sea in summer and in winter shall it be. This one is all season. All season, river of life. Flowing when? At the evening time. It is that river of life that is giving light. So at a time when this person should be learning about how to use the law of the spirit of life to walk in the light, he's busy wandering from church to church, looking for miracle, breakthrough, whatever else that he's looking for, visa, blessing, sister or brother. Because when God doesn't answer by Urim or Tumim, and what do we we go anywhere, we go to get it to. Don't go anywhere to get it. He was wandering in the wrong place. He was doing that by himself. That was what made him a prey. To the next verse. Look at verse 9. Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 9. Proverbs 7, 9. Yes, verse 10. So he was doing the wrong thing at the right time. Because he didn't understand the time. He didn't understand the time at all. So he was already, by virtue of being in the wrong place. They say something in the world where he was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. Was the wrong place, wrong time. That was not the time that he should have been wandering around looking for miracle. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, subtle of heart. He's a woman, he's also a spirit. He's a spirit. The seductress. He's the kind of spirit that Samson met. Okay. When he was looking, they begged him, marry from me, I'll do what I like. Jebby was looking before. Now he found what he was looking for. He backed. He found more than what he bargained for. That's what happened. Walking around, falling prey to the spirit of Babylon. And Samson is a good example of this kind of Christian. He fell to he paid. He mortgaged his destiny. These spirits, when we were young, we used to call it fiery oro. They will scrape your head, they will scrape everything you have. They call them fiery oro. They will take the Bible says the adulteress hunts for the precious life. That's what they did. Yes, thank you. Strong men have been slain by her. Okay, all right. And you can look in verse 26. Ultimately, this is what happened to the man. Let's call the for she has cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Strong men, young man, he's strong, he has overcome the wicked one. But many strong men have been slain. So strength is not the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. a wise man increases in strength. So we should look to really walk in the wisdom of God and the will of God. Amen. All right, and we can see that Samson paid for that lack of wisdom. So the children of this world should not be wiser than the children of light. Bible tells us that in Luke 16 verse 8. But it's an aberration. It's an aberration. If the children of light are doing what they're supposed to be doing, we should be wiser than the children of this world. But because sometimes we're looking to them, then we're looking to Jesus, then we're looking to them, we're looking to Jesus. So because we're double-minded, we don't really receive what we should. But this is the day to go for broke. Amen. Amen. This is the day for you to burn your bridges and go all the way. Because the blessings are on the deep end. They are not in the shallow end. Alright? So if this unjust steward was able to do it because his master was either benevolent and just was new and just decided I won't go do anything about it, or did not know. But if he's walking with a child of God, they have eyes at the back of their head. Because the Holy Spirit is their friend. A little spirit will tell them what he's doing. And tell them, let him be. Let him be. Wait for the day of the harvest. So that we will know what we will do. All right? But we're supposed to be wiser than the children of this world. Amen. Now, why is it important for us to walk in this understanding? Why does God want to learn it? Well, we see that it's the will of God for us. We see that from Solomon, who was a type of the Christ. And Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. Talking about himself. And as we follow him, we are also greater than Solomon. Amen. Because the greatness than Solomon is both internal and external. Amen. Alright? Solomon had a lot of wisdom, a lot of money. But there's some principles that Solomon employed that we can learn from. That's what I believe that God wants us to learn from. If you look at 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 to 31, Solomon was the standard of light in his time. He was. The queen of Sheba came to him. He was the standard of light. He was a man of understanding. He was a king with understanding. Look at 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. Thank you. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much. And what? Largest of heart, even as the sand that's on the seashore. Can you count the sand on the seashore? That is capacity. Largest of heart is capacity of heart. Then the wisdom to keep it. The guy is made. First of all, he has the wisdom. Then he has the container to contain the wisdom. Capacity and the wisdom. Alright, next verse. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country. And also, why wouldn't it excel the children of the east country? The man had capacity as the sand on the seashore. Try and count the sand on the seashore. That's how much. So Solomon just talking is a proverb. Solomon just singing is a poem. Solomon just singing is a proverb. Song of Solomon is a song. Just coming out, just his natural thought is a type of the mind of Christ. That was just the photocopy. The original is coming to you and I. Amen. Amen. You don't sound excited about that. I said the original is coming to you and I. When you look at this, imagine and say, truly God, the day is coming when my wisdom will excel the children. They will be afraid. When they come to ask us things, they come in honesty because they understand that we know the end from the beginning. Because of the God that's inside us. Like the woman at the well, when she came to, she wasn't trying to deceive, just, this is an uncomfortable aspect of man, let me just cover it. Just God said, you've told the truth. In a way, telling that she was lying, but in a way, he told that with love, you've told the truth. In fact, the first thing was, just normal thinking, he could discern. Bible says about disciples, he perceived. How did he perceive? They didn't tell him. Nobody actually told him. He perceived that this was what was going on between them. The Bible says he was walking by and saw a fig tree. And the Bible says, Jesus answered, who spoke to him? Do trees speak? The answer is no. But he's walking in so much wisdom. As he's looking, it's a message to him. God, what does this mean? Everything around you. And I see that a bit, you know, when walking with mommy, you know, and pastor, you can see a lot, you know, little, what you consider little, you will gloss over. Mommy will hold on to you and say, this is a very important point. And thank the people and thank them. And by the time she has to explain why it's important, you know, they could have done it. You would say, it's true. I didn't see it like that. How come I didn't see that? Let me give you a very good example. there's a difference between fathers and children. You know, when we built, when we moved to Lyford, you know, if you're coming to Lyford, you know, you get to a place where it's actually a hill, but it doesn't look like a hill. You know, it's a hill, and then there's a bit of a valley, and then you get to the school. So you can actually see the school from that place. That's the only way you can see the school from that place, because it has to be raised on the same level as the school. And you know, when you look at all the houses there and you look at the school, the difference is clear. It's just clear. You know, so I mean, I drive every day. I drive and I say, that's a school down there. Yeah, thank God. And there's no light anywhere. There's light in school. Anytime. There's no that. There's always this in school. No, when you're in school, you don't know whether NEPA is on, everything is just on. So one day we're talking to my mom and say, when she gets to that place, she bows her head. You did what? Why are you bowing your head? So that my heart will not be proud. I said, Jesus. So make me be proud, Lord, yeah. So can you see what I'm saying? Something very small was insight. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. You know, you walk roughshod all over. Someone else is barefooted. Circumspect. I shouldn't do that. How come? It's light, brethren. Out of a relationship. Amen. We're going to get there in Jesus' name. All right, so learn from my mistake. Don't lift up your head. Let God be the one to lift up your head. Amen. All right, okay. So, all right, so you can see that. But look at 1 Kings chapter 3. Okay? 1 Kings 3. I need to move quickly. Right. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned. He says, Solomon was not perfect. Listen, brethren. But what was he doing? He was walking in the statutes of who? David, his father. It's obedience. It was obedient to instruction. He was walking in the light as he is in the light. Amen. Next verse. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings to Solomon offered upon the altar. Next verse. So he prayed. Okay. In Gibeon, Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. Brethren. Oh no, okay, she mistake. But come on, they just appear to you and say, what ask what I shall give? Are you serious? No, joke. Are you serious? Wait. Let me think about it. Hello. May God help us in Jesus' name. That's why we need to look at what Solomon did. Next verse. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, and thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as this is the. Why is he telling story? The man said, ask what I shall give thee. Which one are you saying again? What he's saying here is a very important premise. Solomon understood a very important point, that he did not come to that place by himself. He was there because of a heritage that he belonged to. His spiritual father, who also happened to be his natural father. So he was looking at, what is the heritage of my father? How much has my father done? How much has he completed? Which one is left? Ah, God, help me to finish it. He was not there. Solomon had clear and present dangers. He was a new king. He was a young man. There were other kings around him that were older, more experienced. Now that they know that his daddy is dead, they're going to want to try him of what sort he is. It's a clear and present danger. Okay, there are things that, you know, as far as personal ambition is concerned, that yes, let me even prove that yes, now I have come to my own. I want to be rich. What did Solomon do? He put all that aside. Look at the next verse. And now, oh, let's read together. And now, oh Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Next verse. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted among. Solomon understood. Why did he understand? Because he was looking to perpetuate the legacy of his father, which ultimately was the legacy of God. Next verse. Give therefore thy servant a word, understanding her heart shall heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between the good and the bad. For who is able to judge thy so great a people? He did not see things naturally. This is the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Not judging after the sight of your eyes. Not judging after the hearing of your ears. Having insight to see the way God sees. May God have mercy on us. Next verse, verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord. It reminds me of Esther. She didn't want anything that she wanted of her own. She wanted only what Haggai the chamberlain suggested. What Haggai asked her to take was the only thing she wanted. Same thing here. Solomon didn't want him. So it's the same. You can see the same thing. The two types, you know, but the same principle. Next verse. God now went. God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, one thing I ask, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thy enemies. So he had enemies. Brethren, leave your enemy alone. Leave your enemy alone. Focus on God. Let the enemies take care of themselves. You focus on God. And get this kind of heart. Amen. But ask for thyself understanding to discern judgment, to know the times and the seasons, what Israel ought to do, so you can rule as a wise king in the eyes of God. Next verse. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise unto thee. Next verse. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. So the one way you know get, the dasham. It's the man of the kingdom. Seek first, and all the other things shall be what? Added. That's what he did. A heart for the kingdom. A heart for the will of God. A heart for the purpose of God. A heart for the legacy of God. Amen? Alright. And so we see there that, you know, Solomon went there and you know, God gave him wisdom. But you know, verse 14 is my punchline. And if thou, as a condition, will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my judgment and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. So it was conditional. It wasn't permanent. It was conditional upon him maintaining that heart by keeping the statutes and the judgments and the commandments of the Lord. Alas, we know the stories. Solomon didn't. He didn't do that. He swerved off from love into error. He became a wife having competition. I don't even know how you best can do that. 700 wives, 200 concubines. That's 1,000. And there are only 365 days in a year. Ah, boy, you try. Oh. That one is a serious one. I mean, I don't understand. That tells you, this same Solomon tells that the heart is deceived. Can deceive you. Okay. Alright. So, we see that. Okay. So, ultimately, we see, therefore, that Solomon ultimately did not please God, who was his father. Now, what is God looking for? Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son does what? Maketh a glad father. So, he didn't make God glad. He started well, but he veered off. We will not veer off in Jesus' name. Why did he veer off? Proverbs 13:1. A wise son does what? Heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. So he didn't stay with the instruction. He veered off from the instruction. May God help us to stay with the instruction in Jesus' name. Alright? So that's one thing. So because he didn't make his father glad, then it led him to make immature decisions. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 verse 11. I'm just giving an example now of the 700 wives and 300 concubines. Okay? When I was a child, I did what? I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I did what? Put away childish things. He went back to childish things. Woman, money, childish. It wasn't, these are not things that God is interested in. No. As a priority, you know, was his priority changed. He became immature spiritually. And that showed, you know, because when they were going to ask him to discern, when the prophet Uzziah came to meet him, you know, and the old man gave him counsel. And said, speak gently to them. And, you know, your father, you know, just, you know, take the, oh no, that was Rehoboam. Okay. But, I mean, what I'm trying to say is that it affects the decisions that we make, you know. Because if you are immature, you make immature decisions, you see things in an immature way. And ultimately, you know, Solomon really couldn't retain the kingship, which was really a type of his inheritance. Because God really wanted him to be king of Israel, and then to extend, that's why God, to extend the measure of the rule and influence all the nations around them, so that they will come to serve the God of Israel. Bible says, through you shall the nations of the earth be blessed. The ultimate purpose of everything is not for you alone, it's for the nations of the earth. With the glory God gave him in wisdom, in riches, there was nobody rich like Solomon. Silver, they put silver outside for Solomon. In Solomon's time, he was rich. But alas, Solomon forgot the purpose. Like Pastor Dewey was teaching us the other day, when you swerve off love, you get off into vain jangling. Just took a detour. Just went off. Will not go off in Jesus' name. Amen. So how, as we begin to round up, how can we ensure that we're people of understanding? Number one point that I have here, Proverbs 28:26. Proverbs 28:26. Let's read it together, everybody. He that trusted in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Never trust your own heart. Number one. Never trust your own heart. Even if you have an opinion, like Jesus, when I said, they have no wine. Initial reaction, what I have to do with thee? I don't have anything to do with, am I a wine making factory? I beg. I mean, before the start, I don't understand why you're telling me that. That is not pertinent to me. And then immediately he's like, God, is that the correct thing? Did I do the correct thing? Is that the correct thing? Check in. Whose will do you want to do? Is it your own? Or God's own? It's a big question. John chapter 5 verse 30. Whose will do you want to do? Really, 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 really. Because sometimes we say what we know we should say, but we are not determined to do that. That's not what we want to do. Jesus Christ said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. What seekest thou? Your own will, your own kingdom? Let me do it this way. Nobody can tell me. No. I have to fear God and have no confidence in the flesh. It's what the Bible says of the children of Zion. Amen. Okay. Alright. So when that place where we don't have any confidence in our own, we don't trust, we don't depend. Now we use our understanding, but we don't depend on it. We keep checking it. We keep allowing the word of God to check our thinking. That is the place of safety where the Holy Spirit can help. Amen. Then the next one is really seven pillars. But the way the Lord showed me took me to Proverbs chapter 2. Let's read it together. Proverbs chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 1. Let's read it together. My son. How many people are God's son? Miss Yuan. Okay, so he's talking to you and I. Alright. If thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. As the first one. Let's read the next verse. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Next verse. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding. Next verse. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Next verse. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Amen. And find the knowledge of God. Next verse. For the Lord giveth wisdom. I thought it just came because of age. No. What does the Bible say? The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh what? Knowledge and understanding for every situation. There is none that you have to assume. Always ask yourself, what is the purpose of God in this? What is the purpose of God for this? That's what I've learned to working with Pastor and Mommy. That's what I've seen. Everything has a purpose. Even wedding. Even wedding. How can this wedding glorify God? Everything. God, does God have to be in this? Can't it just be an ordinary wedding? No. But it's no. That's what the kind of mind does do. Can't it just be normal? Nothing is normal. Everything must tie in with purpose. Everything must be part of that divine legacy. Everything must want to show Jesus forth. Everything must want to be light so that the world can see God in what you're doing. Amen. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. Amen. So you know, everything, you know, so you can see that the Lord gives wisdom and understanding. There is a wisdom of God for everything you want to do. Don't presume. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. And at the end, you will still get what you want, but then God will get what he wants in what you want, and then give you more than you bargained for. That's what God did for Solomon. Gave more than he bargained. Is that not what he gave to him? Gave more than he bargained for. Even Job that missed it, after Job got it right, and changed his life, he prayed for his friends. God now said, settle down. Gave him another wife. Gave him children. 10. The children grew up to the point where it's not about the fairest in the land. God was not here counting. No, this is just, I'm restoring. Job has done what I want. Let me now show him that all things that he wants, he was trying to maintain by his own hand. He doesn't have. Strong men retain riches. It takes the strength of God to retain what God gave you. It's not you trying to do it by yourself. Let God do it for you. So when Job aligned his heart, guess what God did? God gave him the 10, you know, with his 3 lovely daughters, 7 sons, and the daughter of the fairest in the land. They now gave him double what he had before. And then give him long time to enjoy. Give God a clap offering.
Imagine how many years it would have taken for God to actually restore all that.
But I said, but we know the end of the Lord. That the Lord is pitiful and of great mercy. God is a lovely person. You know? And so if you just give him, make him a partner in your business, make him a partner in your research, make him a partner in your life, make him a partner in the life partner you're looking for, make him a partner in everything, God will do exceeding abundantly more than you can ask or think. Instead, the Bible says that that a beautiful woman that is without character is like a pig that has a ring in his nose. It's very important that you don't choose with your eyes. Be looking like glucosade. God will have mercy on us. But that you look with the eyes of the Spirit, because ultimately, God knows the one that will pay you. He knows the one that you are dreaming about. Jokosha, I will have someone that will be able to do this for me. You never said it to anybody. God knows. And he will give you somebody that will fulfill all those dreams. That's why you just simiedo. That's how they say it. Simiedo. Chill. Relax. God is in control. Tell your neighbor, God is in control. He's in control. Okay, next verse. Alright, now let's get off. Alright, next verse. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. The end of it is walking uprightly. Now let's take it verse by verse. You can see from verse 1, let's give us verse 1, that cultivating, seeking God's word is number 1. Receiving God's word. Receiving it. Be open to receive the word. Read it. You know, listen to not just any word, the pure, undiluted, whole counsel of God. That has the purpose, divine purpose of God. Be listening to it. Be reading it. Be studying it. Because when you do that, it's going to do something to your heart. It's going to make agape love the goal. The end of the commandment. Because that's where the wisdom of God comes from. It comes through the word. Jesus is the living word, but he's giving us the written word. But the living word will breathe upon the written word. When you're reading it, and be talking to you and I. Amen. So you can see that in the word is the commandment. So you hide the commandment with you. Bible says, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Psalm 119 verse 9. We're not turning there. But it's just important to bring out these principles, that when you are receiving the word, you're looking for the instruction, brethren. Always look for the instruction. When they share a beautiful message, and what is the instruction here? Because it is that instruction that you need to do to get the blessing. Amen. What's the next verse? Next verse. So thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding. Now you have to speak it. You have to meditate it. Apply is meditate. You have to apply and meditate and really is do. You know, you have to do it. Look at James chapter 1 verse 22. James 1 verse 22. But be ye what? Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you don't do the word, your heart remains the same. You have the revelation. And I'll be here sometimes. It's not a good place to be. You have the revelation, so you think you are doing it, but you're not. So you are deceived. Deceived is saying that your heart is not changing. Your heart is not becoming more humble. Your heart is not becoming more righteous. So, but you think you stand, but then you can fall. Because you are not really doing the word. So the way to do it is to take heed that you're always doing what you know to do is right. Amen. God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we keep doing the word. And if you look at Psalm 111 verse 10. When you do the word, then you get good understanding. When you doing the word gives you experiential knowledge. No, one is revelation. The other one is It's wisdom. You know, you experience it. So it's now something, it's not something somebody said, it's not something Pastor Nubi said, it's something that you experienced. Pastor Nubi said it, but then you took it and you did it. So it's now no longer what Pastor Nubi, it's what God said that you now did. Decided to pass on, but now you now did it. Okay? So that thou, no, Psalm 111, verse 10. I'm faster than you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Stop. If you don't do his commandments, you don't have a good understanding. It just follows. So that means that you understand, but that understanding is not of God. It's not good. Only God is good. God will give us godly understanding in Jesus' name. Alright, next verse. Next verse, okay. No, not... you need to be in the spiritual. Verse 4. Proverbs chapter 2. Now, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures. Okay? Now, what's he talking about? Give us verse 3 first. Give me verse 3. No, it's verse 3 I need. Now, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding. Christ is travail. Christ. You know what travail helps you? When you travail, you cry. And then you, Bible says, deep calleth unto deep. You go down to get water at the noise of the water spouts. It's deep knowledge. So you cry for knowledge. That's travail. Now you need that travail to pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, and take thoughts captive that have existed in the dark place of the soul. The word of God cannot take, it cannot take. You know, when you talk about grafting, you know, I have a medical background. When you talk about grafting, a graft must take. Take means that the place that you grafted, the cells there will accept the foreign cell that you brought there. Alright? So they allow. So the word of God cannot graft in a soul that has strongholds. You have to pull it down. The Bible says that you root down, you throw down, you destroy. And then you can build and plant on top. There's nobody that builds a road or a highway through the trees, just you pour cement on the tree. Is it possible? People tell you, get him an engineer. He's going to waste his money. Please tell him that it's not going to work. He will bulldoze the thing and make it, remove everybody, all the trees, and make a clear path, you know, make a path for the road. And then they will map it out and do the surveying and all that. They make sure that the embankment, everything is done. Valleys failed. Mountains become a plain. Crooked places straighten. Rough places smoothen. Then you can put the word of God on top. So the word and the spirit really work together, you know, in prayer. You know, we do these things, but now we can do understanding. Because it's not two separate things, it's integrated. Everything is working together. Amen. Okay. All right. Okay, so we can practice the word of God. Galatians 4:19 says, my little children, of my travail again in birth until Christ be formed. Christ is formed by travail with the word. You know, that's how Christ is formed. And then deform it in you until the Christ in you grows. Amen. Alright. So that's important for us to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. And then next verse was, if thou seekest her, yes, as silver. No. Next, give me verse 3. Verse 3. Yes. And lifted up thy voice for understanding. And that's tongues. No, Bible says, no, the spirit of the of man searches the things of man. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. We know these principles, but again, just to show us. For what man, let's read together. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Okay? So, next verse. Verse 12. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. So when you lift up your voice for understanding, God begins to give you understanding. The things God has freely given you, begins to give them, is a spirit-to-spirit communication. And then your spirit then uploads it, as it were, to your mind. So our mind can then receive it. We call it revelation. Okay? But that's how you cry for this. The Bible says, beloved, you know, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost. No, you keep yourself in the love of God. So it's the same. That praying in tongues is communion. It's communion. You stay in tune with the Holy Spirit and with God all day. All day. No, I know the instruction pastor gave us. We do at least 1 hour of that every day. You can break it into pieces, but make sure you try and do that. The principle is, as frequently as possible, stay in touch, stay in tune. Okay? Alright. Next verse. No. Not next verse here. When I say next verse, is the next verse. Right. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. This is priority. It's so important to make the kingdom top priority. Proverbs 4:23. Let's look at that. I think that's very important. 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are what? The issues of life. This is seeking her silver and as he treasures. It is you keep seeking it and seek and nurturing it, because it is a treasure. The Bible says nothing you can desire can be compared to what she will give you if you really nurture her properly. Bible says receive instruction and not silver. Receive knowledge rather than choice gold. Does God not know what he's talking about? He's trying to give you crunge. That this is the way. The one that will give you understanding, that's the one that you put the priority on. Not the one that will give you money. This one will produce the money. It's what God is saying. Amen. Durable riches with righteousness. Money that you will be able to retain is creative wealth. It's very important. But it's everything works from the heart. From the heart, then you keep the commandments, and then it ends in conduct, in love. And righteousness. Amen. Okay. And then we do it diligently. Okay. So it's very important that we understand that. And I want to end with the story of Jehoiada, a man of understanding. Pastor has mentioned this. He's taught us beautifully before. But it came to my heart. Jehoiada was a priest, you know, who was one of the priests in Israel. And he was a man of understanding, because he didn't judge the way God wanted him to judge, the way men would have done things. In fact, if you read the story of the king, you see people that they will kill the king. There are people that will kill the king and they will take the throne. Isn't it true? I mean, there are many examples. And there are people that you know, when they are strong, you know, they will just go and they just kill the... There are people that were doing... But Jehoiada was a different man. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 23. And I want to just go quickly as we end, as we come to a close. 2 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 1. Then verse 3, then verse 8, then verse 11. Quick. And in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds, Azariah, and son of Jehoram, Ishmael, son of Jehoanan, Azariah, son of Obed, Maaseiah, the son of Adiah, and Elishapha, the son of Zikri, into covenant with him. Verse 3. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said unto them, behold, the king's son shall reign, as Lord had said of the sons of David. What was Jehoiada's plan? It was to fulfill what God had said of the sons of David. It was about understanding that there was a lineage, there was a plan, there was an eternal plan, there was a dynasty that God was in them, and it was important that Athaliah be frustrated so that the dynasty of God could stand. It wasn't a time for personal agenda. It was a time for the purpose of God. That's a man of understanding. Because it's not normal. Normal people don't do that. They take what they can for themselves. Next verse. No, not the next verse. Next verse is verse 8. Give me verse 8. Thank you. Just because we're going quickly. And to the Levites and all Judah did according. So the Levites and all Judah did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest had commanded. And took every man, his men that were come to him in on the Sabbath, and with them that were to go out on the Sabbath. For Jehoiada the priest dismissed not the courses. He did not remove the landmarks of the fathers.
Notice that he had influence over all these men. If he told these men, "Oh yeah, follow me," he would have followed him. He would have followed him.
Look at verse 11. Verse 11. May God help us to be faithful and loyal.
Then they brought out the king's son and put upon him. This boy was 7 years old. Seven.
My son is older than 7 years old. And I know the things that I'm talking to him about. You now put him to reign on the throne.
Doesn't make any sense, brethren. It's the fear of God. You have to fear God to do this. It's not normal. Even people telling you, this is your time. This is your opportunity. God has brought you for such a time as this. They be quoting scripture to derail you. Cease to hear instruction according to the earth on the words of knowledge. And stay with the plan that God gave. And he put upon him the crown, gave him testimony, and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, God save this 7-year-old king. Submitted to him. Verse 16. I'll show you the depth of his consecration. Verse 16. And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people.
He was kingdom minded. He was legacy oriented. He was a man of understanding. He understood that he only came in a particular point in time. There were things before him, and it was his responsibility to maintain what was before to take it to his logical conclusion, because that was what God wanted. Amen. Alright. So we see that he was kingdom minded. To the point where, look at 2 Chronicles 24, verse 2. Look at this great endorsement. For me, this is a very huge endorsement from God.
Yes, let's read together. And Joash,
it's Joash, don't use that.
Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada was the father. He could have taken the thing for himself. Technically, he was the most spiritually mature. So really, if he took it, who would say, what doest thou? He had the maturity, he had the wisdom, but it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Must fulfill all righteousness. So, and for me, this is a huge endorsement. You know, to the point, if you continue in this chapter, even at a point in time, this Joash corrected him and told him that all the things that they were supposed to, the collection and that they've done for the temple, why have not been done? And Jehoiada submitted to it. And they said, did everything according to the word of the king that he put there. Remember what Abner did? When the son of Saul that fell down, Mephibosheth, when he was complaining that Abner was taking his father's wife, Abner said,
I don't want to say it, I'm preaching.
He said, in fact, everybody, to David. It was the will of God, but it was a betrayal. Because they dared question his authority. And was supposed to be, that boy was king. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just giving an example. So if you're talking about faithfulness and loyalty, he didn't have to do that. Jehoiada was different. Was of a different spirit. God will help us in Jesus' name. And then you can see in verse 15 and 16 as we close. Verse 15 and 16. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. Next verse. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings. Because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and towards his house. Did he not end up getting the kingship? Yes, he got the kingship. Even the people recognized that, no, this is the king. Brethren, what are you looking for? What God gives is better than what you take for yourself. It's better than what you take for yourself. It's better to be a man of understanding, understand the times, understand the purpose, and play your part in making the purpose come to pass. Let's bow our heads as we pray. And give God all the praise. Let's bow our heads. Talk to God. We lift up our hand for mercy, put our left hand on our hearts. Pray and say, Heavenly Father,
I thank you for your word that has come to me today, showing me that it is your desire and is your will for me to be of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. So I will know your ways and I will walk in your ways. So I will be well pleasing in your sight, and your light will shine in my soul to dispel all darkness until my eye is single, and then shine in my body and shine around me, so that I will be the light of the world according to your word. Heavenly Father, I ask you for mercy. Mercy to be faithful, to be diligent, to keep my heart with all diligence, to seek the kingdom diligently, to walk in obedience to the instruction of my fathers, that truly your light coming from you through my fathers will increase in my life, so that I will look for you in everything I'm involved in every situation that I have to face, and I will bring glory and praise to you in and through everything that I do. Father, be glorified in and through me. Let your light shine brighter as you help me to cooperate with you by your mercy and by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit now. Safreke koko shikali, rande vede do don banga kase. Jeffrey beka konka toa zafre dikale, runama toto bekasa. Jekanama paka, rebepea zamarike, rodenatoa, rode baka kongea, kangonom, krondikai, jepramia, rapabau, jenamo baka ba, jendamo soto, rebepepe, kenga levabaya, rapakato, renedea. Made Rodo Redelea Jeganamos Bekarian Repapea Rapakatoa Janko Tekanan Sopere Rapea Karo Karo Redebesa Redebekaka Redebe Pompo Ea Rondeanama Rapakatome Jekanamasot Bekaka Jeffrekeko Bangedebekanama. In Jesus' name, amen.